point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
This season, get premium tech that inspires joy from Dell Technologies. Bring projects to life with the XPS 16. It delivers supercharged processing for enhanced productivity and freedom to express yourself. Performance-class Dell PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors deliver a dedicated engine to help accelerate AI. Enjoy free shipping, Dell rewards, and expert support. When you get a Dell PC with AI, it gives back. Shop now at Dell.com/deals.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The closing message unfolding 22 days to Election Day at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, vice presidential candidate Tim Walz criticized former President Trump's campaign language.
This is not damn WWE type stuff. It's not about, well, it's cool when he talks like this or whatever. It's not cool. It hurts people. And it leads to violence and it undermines our system. That is not cool.
The presidential candidates will both be in Pennsylvania today, Vice President Harris in Erie, Mr. Trump in suburban Philadelphia. New civil lawsuits filed against Sean Combs today by anonymous alleged victims who claim they were sexually assaulted. No comment from Combs' lawyers. Authorities in Rutherford County, North Carolina, say a man's been arrested after he was allegedly heard making threats about harming FEMA areas who were working in the area after Hurricane Helene. And the acting labor secretaries in Seattle meeting with both Boeing and the union, representing more than 30,000 striking workers. This is ABC News. A NASA spacecraft is en route to Europa, a moon of Jupiter.
3, 2, 1.
Took off today from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida on a 5.5-year journey. It is the largest interplanetary spacecraft NASA's ever built. China held large-scale military exercises around Taiwan in what it calls a warning against Taiwan independence. ABC's Tom Rivers has more from the foreign desk.
Chinese state television announcing the air and sea drills 4 days after the self-ruled island celebrated the founding of its government. Taiwan's defense ministry calls the exercises a provocation, and a number of its fighter jets have taken to the skies to gauge the scale of the widespread operation. A map aired on China's CCTV showed six large blocks encircling Taiwan, indicating where the drills are being held. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need, and more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. Fatal shooting at a Milwaukee youth football game. Milwaukee Public Schools says it happened during a youth flag football game Saturday afternoon on the city's south side. The stadium was cleared while police took a 47-year-old man struck by the gunfire to a hospital where he later died. Milwaukee police are looking for a suspect after initially taking a 37-year-old man into custody, but later determining he wasn't connected to the homicide. A Janesville business is defending itself from allegations of repeated federal safety violations. Universal Recycling Technologies President Ken Thomas responds to claims that OSHA inspections in April of 2023 and April of last year found employees were exposed to unsafe levels of lead and cadmium while dismantling cathode ray tubes from older TVs. Thomas says the firm has been working for nearly a year to address the issue.
And over the last 18 months, we've invested well over $150,000, put a lot of man hours, and have been bringing in outside consultants to design and put in place engineering controls that will get to the root cause of the air quality within our facility.
Thomas says he was surprised when OSHA levied more than $200,000 in fines. Wisconsin hospitals are contending with a shortage of IV fluids after Hurricane Helene hit a Baxter International plant in North Carolina that produces much of the nation's supply. Wisconsin Hospitals Association President and CEO Eric Borgerding says every member is affected.
And taking various measures to conserve the supplies that they have on hand and stretch it as far as they can until Baxter or other alternatives can be stood up and made available.
Bergerding says that includes some surgical postponements.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Crisp and cool today as we sit under a mix of sun and clouds as high temperatures reach the low 50s. Winds are pulling out of the northwest and scattered showers are possible this afternoon, but we quickly clear on out and drop cold overnight, allowing for frost by morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 45.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Don't let tough conditions slow you down. Cenex Premium Grease provides equipment with superior strength to keep going. Safeguard your equipment with premium lubricants from Cenex. Visit your nearest Cenex store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on today's show, we'll take a look at markets in just a moment with Dara Newsom from Bar Chart. Weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek in segment two. We had a few different frost and freeze warnings out for portions of the plains and the western Corn Belt to start off the week. It's getting to be that time of year. We're going to talk about that and other weather headlines as we work through the middle half of October. We'll get to John in segment two. In segment three, we're going to take a look at the latest September meat demand monitor and also a special report deep dive with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University. All that coming up in segment three. And then we'll close out the show and have a conversation with our friend Dr. Steve Lerner with Novonesis, talking about the gut microbiome, not just a animal topic, but also for humans as well. We're going to get to that interesting convo coming up here at the end of today's show. Let's kick things off. Joining us now, senior market analyst with Bar Chart, Dara Newsom joins us here as we take a look at what's happening in the market trade to start off the week. Darren, good to talk with you again, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well here, Jesse. And I tell you what, markets are moving here early Monday morning.
Well, talk about some of what you are paying attention to. I know we've been working through harvest, of course, and watching things like basis and fund short covering to some degree. And you look at grains in particular. I look at the quote screen, looking a little higher in the soy complex, maybe trying to bounce here. What's the big thing you're watching as we kick off the week?
That's really there's a couple things that really stand out to me. And you mentioned soybeans. And what's fascinating here is late last week, we saw a little bit of commercial buying coming into the market. We saw basis firm ever so slightly against November and the next January contract, the January 2025 contract. And we saw the futures spreads at Friday's close covering slightly less calculated full commercial carry than they did the previous week. So what's this tell us? There was some commercial buying to finish off last week. At the same time that harvest has been really roaring along because of weather, is staying hot and dry and so on here in the United States for the most part. And so it was an interesting difference of what we might have expected heading into a weekend. Now, we did see some pressure immediately Sunday night through Monday morning. And what that did was it dropped the November contract, still the more heavily traded November contract, down to a low of 998. And there was short-term technical support on its daily chart at 998.5. And it has immediately bounced off of that to the point where it has rallied to where it's 1 to 2 cents higher, as you mentioned. So a lot going on in the soybean market. The other thing that really stood out to me was with last Friday's CFTC commitment to traders report, legacy futures only, it's the only one I look at. Funds had gone long the corn market by 36,000 contracts. And this was a switch of over 43,000 contracts from the previous week. Does this tell us that funds are now bullish the corn market? I'm still on this. I still don't think so. I think what happened was they overshot a little bit on their move to the sideline. We did see some new longs established, but the majority of the position was changed by just simply covering shorts. So now we'll see as the weeks start to pile up, as we start to add some weeks into this move, Are funds actually interested in going long, or again, were they just still getting out and just overshot a bit?
That's a great point you bring up, and I was looking through your morning commentary as well. That move to long corn, it's been well over a year since we've seen this happen, right, Darren?
It is. The last week that we saw a net long futures in corn, and I'll also throw in Kansas City hard red winter wheat, was the same week, August 8th, 2023. And so funds have built and maintained a net short futures position since then. And so now we have to ask, okay, is there a fundamental reason? Has there been a fundamental change that would draw funds back in on the long side? And really the only thing that stands out to me in corn is that if we go out to that deferred May-July future spread, and that one brings into account South American production, most notably Brazil, for the next crop, is there enough concern that that's where funds are starting to look? And that spread did close bullish in the corn market. It did close bullish at the end of last week, and it's been bullish for the last few weeks. So if funds are going to build a net long, most likely it's due to that longer term bullish view indicated by the May-July spread.
The wheat markets, too, you mentioned that. We were trying to find what felt to me like a little bit of momentum to the upside much of last week. I mean, can we make a case that the wheat trade in general on the back of various global weather problems, derivatives, is wheat trying to turn bullish as a whole, Darren?
I don't see it. What I see is still we've got bearish basis markets in the two winter markets in particular, two winter wheat markets in particular, and we've got neutral to bearish future spreads as well. So to me, with funds going net long Kansas City, to me this was an overshoot. They were decreasing their futures position in both long and shorts, and the only thing was it just by the numbers themselves, it wound up being a net long since last Tuesday's close. Yes, we still see the December Kansas City contract showing us a fractional gain, but that could be erased. And so we're going to watch that market closely, not through this Tuesday's close. And that'll give us a better indication, because I just don't believe the market is showing us that the fundamentals are there for funds to all of a sudden want to go long.
How about gold and crude oil as we kick off the week on Monday? Any big things you're watching in those markets, Darren?
Yeah, typical early week stuff. We came out of another weekend and the world's still turning. It didn't blow up. I'm still expecting some big events before the next U.S. presidential election. And so what they're doing is they're taking a little bit of steam out of the market that we saw last week, selling a little bit of gold, selling a little bit of crude oil. Energy complex as a whole is down a little bit. it's going to remain a volatile. Those two markets are going to remain volatile at least through the next election or next month, and then we'll see what happens after that. If the jitters start to calm down, or if it only gets worse, and so we'll see what happens. But are taking a little bit of last week's gains back. We know gold's sharply overbought, but that isn't stopping buyers as a safe haven market.
Any notes in the proteins as well? A little green in cattle futures on Monday, while hogs, I know the October contract goes off the board Monday, showing some losses in futures there. Any notes of the proteins real quick, Darren?
What I've seen that really stands out to me is that the basis has weakened in the live cattle market, and we're looking at the cash index. And so that could be a bit of a concern that we could start to see some increased commercial pressure on this market, despite the fact that U.S. stock indexes want to continue to go higher.
All right. We appreciate the time as always. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, thanks for joining us this week on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Darren Newsom there with Bar Chart joining us here on AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel. Mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex. Go to your nearest store or Cenex.com for more. We'll talk weather with DTA meteorologist John Baranek next on AOA.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
Pulling acres ahead of the competition is simple. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. These premium oils are formulated with EnduroVis technology and a balanced additive package to control deposits for a cleaner, more efficient engine that gives you proven durability. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And today's AOA continues, powered by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected with Cenex Premium Diesel. Visit your nearest Cenex store location or go online for more at cenex.com. Let's talk about what's happening with the weather outlook here as we're working through the middle of the month of October. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, looks like your neck of the woods up there near the Twin Cities and areas throughout the Northern Plains and the part of the Western Corn Belt finally getting some of that that frost and freeze activity that we normally see this time of the year, John.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of patchy stuff, you know, kind of over the last couple of weeks. But for the most part, hasn't been very cold up here. We finally started getting some of that cold air in. Yeah, from the Dakotas all the way down to northern Kansas and then up through some parts of western Iowa and Minnesota. Yep, we did see some frost and freezes. Some areas got down below 30 degrees here this morning. And that's kind of headed your way, Jesse. Over the next couple of mornings, we'll be spreading that down through a really good portion of the U.S. here, east of the Rockies. I mean, we could see some frosty temperatures down in Oklahoma, western Texas, even northern Alabama and Georgia might get in on some frost advisories and stuff. So if you look at the National Weather Service page, I'm sure you'll be seeing a lot more blue across there for various frost and freeze warnings here over the next couple of mornings.
Well, and thinking about this cooler air moving into the country, it doesn't look like that it's going to move through, but it's not necessarily going to stick around for a long term here this week, as it sounds like we could warm things back up a little bit here later on this week. Am I right?
Yeah, especially if you're out in the plains. So you get a couple of mornings of this, days really, of some cooler weather, but then by Wednesday night and Thursday, we're warming things up really quickly out there. We'll see temperatures bounce back where we'll have highs near 80 degrees again in South Dakota and Minnesota. So it'll be a sharp turnaround. Might take a couple extra days to get through like Ohio and Kentucky, but they'll be looking at some warmer temperatures coming up too, getting back into the 70s, it looks like, here for the weekend. So, it's a shot of cold air. And for some of us, it's going to be some early frost, down in Oklahoma and Tennessee. Usually you don't see that until either the end of the month or going into November. But for some areas up here, it's actually a little bit late. But, you know, it's a cold shot. It's typically what we see during the fall, but it's not going to last long. And we're going to continue to stay kind of on the above normal side of things here for the end of the month. We just have to see or just have to remember that normal. I don't know. Normal is not really a good term for this time of year, but average, above average temperatures here, probably through the end of the month for most of us.
Well, thinking about above average as a term, I would say that we can't really use above average for precipitation. It's been pretty dry here the last several weeks. And everything I've seen doesn't indicate that we're going to make this situation that much better here anytime soon. What are things looking like on the precipitation front right now, John?
Yeah, not really good, Jesse. I mean, unless you were impacted by Helene or Milton down there in the southeast, you haven't had much rain over the last couple of months. I mean, we did see a front that went through the Great Lakes, and it did bring some decent showers there to kind of southern Michigan into far northern Ohio over the weekend. And the colder air that's moving across those lakes is producing some lake effect showers here the next couple of days. Luckily, it's going to be in the form of rain and not snow. But that's really the only spot here in the next few days that we see any rainfall. We will get a front to move into the plains on Friday, and it could bring some showers to areas like the Dakotas and Minnesota for Friday and Saturday. But there will be kind of this upper level low that sinks down to the Four Corners area, and that could continue some showers there in the southwestern plains for their winter wheat into the weekend. So that would be nice if it happens. Now, the models aren't overly excited about it. It doesn't have a whole lot of rain, or it's not super widespread either, but it's something. That system will move northeast into the upper Midwest early next week. So we do get a little bit of rainfall up through there as well. But, you know, a lot of these forecasts are for a quarter of an inch or less. So it's not a ton. And the amazing drought that we've had over the last, couple of months here, really starting to build in. Just that it's, the momentum is still in that direction, unfortunately. So we're not building a whole bunch of soil moisture here. And, you know, our average temperatures are continuing to fall, and it won't be long before some of these northern areas start freezing over in their soil. So we have some limited time for some of these bigger fall storms that we usually see to come in and dump a bunch of rain, but or even a little bit of snow, I think, would even be helpful for some folks. But we don't have those really in the cards just yet. There may be one for the end of the month. There may be another one in early November, but I don't know. It's hard to say that those are going to actually turn out to be anything at this moment. The upper level pattern just doesn't really favor those big storms coming in.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. And I think about this, John, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but we get into the winter months and start relying on major snowstorms to try and give us some sort of, you know, moisture to try and find its way into the soil as we warm things back up in the spring, et cetera, and get a deep snowpack. That's not necessarily something that we can really truly rely on to help shore up deficits for soil moisture, is it?
Yeah, you really can't hang your hat on that happening, because building up snowpack, one, you have to have good precipitation, and two, it has to be cold at the same time. I mean, like last year, we had above normal precipitation, or at least close to normal here in Minnesota, but we had half the amount of snow, so we didn't have all that snowpack to really to burn through and kind of provide us with a long drawn out snowpack to moisten soils. So, I mean, it's really difficult to say that, you know, oh good, we'll at least get a snowpack and then we'll have some source there for the spring for some of these northern areas. But man, yeah, trying to rely on wintertime precipitation is tough, especially when we're getting into La Nina, and those don't really favor some of these areas in the upper Midwest. They do around the Ohio Valley, though, and that may be the spot where, you know, it's been dry. We've had some drought issues. You know, Helene helped with that quite a bit, but it's been dry after that. Maybe that area is a good area to look at for building soil moisture over the winter. But yeah, in terms of getting snowpack to do that, yeah, that's a tough thing to hang your hat on.
How about South America? Let's catch up on things there. I know that the rain showers, the wet season has started to get underway in Brazil, while it looked like maybe some shifts to the weather pattern in Argentina, at least bringing some precipitation. What's the latest you're seeing in South America, John?
Yeah, everything's really starting to blossom here in terms of precipitation over South America. It's about 2 weeks late in central Brazil, and they're way behind on their soybean planting right now. They've got a little bit of time to catch up, of about 2 weeks. That's about it. And if they can't catch up to their normal pace, then that really puts that safrinha corn crop in a bind when they start planting that in late January and into February. Because if it is late, that means the corn will be late, and then that exposes it more to the dry season in April and May. So that's, I think, the biggest concern right now. Can they really get that soybean crop planted in a timely manner, or is there going to be a significant portion of that late now? At least they have some better rainfall in there to help them out. Obviously not good for us here. And we'd like it for them to be drier, but producers there are really kind of in a good spot right now, at least in terms of the weather. Argentina's waking up as well. I mean, they've had front after front move through. They just had been dry as they move through. Now, last week, they started getting a little bit more rainfall into there, and they've got two more systems coming through, one early this week, another one midweek, and it looks like another one comes through probably early or mid next week as well. And it's the rainfall they kind of need. It's the 1 to 3 inch rainfall with every system moving through. So that should help with their drought situation down there in Argentina. Their corn planting and their wheat had been suffering. So the rainfall is good for them as well. They won't start planting their soybeans until November, but this rainfall should help lessen the impacts of that drought and kind of moisten soils for that when that comes to be as well.
Well, of course, folks can stay up to date with the weather, the latest at DTNPF.com, DTNPF.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us at AOA, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, hopefully we can, deal with the cold the next couple of days and be nice and warm, get back out in the field and have it feel good out there. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
You bet. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, joining us here on AOA, powered by Cenex. Their premium lubricants can help avoid downtime and minimize wear to protect your equipment for the long term. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex store for more. Up next, we'll take a look at the September meat demand monitor and a separate MDM deep dive looking at prior day pork consumption. Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University joins us next on AOA.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
On board wheat offer of $250 per metric ton. That's well above the season low near $216 a metric ton. And last week's offers of near $234 per metric ton. On another bullish note, consultancy Sav Econ has reduced Russian wheat production to 81.5 million metric tons. That's down 1.4 million metric tons from the previous estimate. I'm Jody Heemstra.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Farmers and Ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And Ahead AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage risk and decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind to protect your equipment and get the most out of your equipment by investing in a premium diesel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. Go to your nearest store or visit Cenex.com online for more information. Well, let's take a look at the latest meat demand monitor out from Kansas State University's Department of Ag Economics. Joining us now, Dr. Glenn Tonsor with K-State to look at the latest MDM. Glenn, welcome back to AOA, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks for having me on, and hope everybody else is doing well and enjoying a little bit of fall weather finally.
Yeah, a little bit of fall weather, as we heard from John Baranek in the last segment, getting some of that fall chill in the air here mid-October. It's about time for some of that, I would say.
Yep.
No doubt, as football season rolls along and much, much more. The latest MDM, we track this every month with you. Walk us through, I guess, just to kick it off here for the month of September, Glenn, any big wholesale changes? What were some of the top-line items that you saw in this month's MDM?
Yeah, so nothing real drastic. It showed up in the September report as compared to, you know, the prior month of August or even compared to September of 2023. Maybe I'll just walk through some of the take-home points. They're not real, as I said, drastic or surprising. But retail demand, we track 8 different items. It was the front part of this 4-page standard report. 7 of those 8, retail demand was a little softer in September than it was August. That doesn't surprise me, given some of the cost of living chatter that's out there. But for example, willingness to pay for ribeye steak and ground beef, as well as pork chop and bacon and chicken breast and a couple other products, were all lower in September compared to August. One of the things we always highlight is what's underneath those decisions. So something we call protein values. So what's the relative importance of things like taste, freshness, price versus environmental impact, origin, traceability, those kinds of things. Again, that's a pretty steady measure. I'll just interject here. One take-home point is the importance of taste and freshness continues to lead. Way more people tell us that one, if not both of those, are a top consideration in their protein purchasing decisions than what we might call social issues around use of hormones or antibiotics, animal welfare claims, environmental impact. Those are important, but only for a minority or kind of a subset of the public. So that was reaffirmed in September again, Jesse. And as you go down through this base report, you know, there's not a big change in foot traffic. So meals at home versus away from home, about the same. Prevalence in being a regular meat consumer is the same. So we asked, again, this is a national representative survey every month for our regular listeners. They know that. We ask, how would you describe your diet? Are you a regular consumer of animal products, i.e. meat? Are you a flexitarian? So you're a meat consumer, but you periodically purposely avoid meat in some meals. Are you a vegan, vegetarian, or do you choose not to declare? And we continue to see a steady rate of 70 to 75% saying they're a regular meat consumer, and an additional 10 or 11% tell us they're a flexitarian. So you actually need to sum those two up to tell you how large the regular meat customer base is, and it's well north of 80, approaching 85% most months. That's not new either, but it gets lost in the media because there's tends to be more anti-meat discussion than there is pro-meat discussion. That's why I want to highlight that with you here today, Jesse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned the willingness to pay decreasing for 7 of the 8 retail products in September. And I look at the ad hoc questioning, and this kind of goes along with something you and I have been talking about in regards to the meat demand monitor for a few months now. Glenn, is looking at household finances and talk about some of this a little bit. It doesn't feel like to me, from what I've been hearing, some of that chatter you mentioned, a lot of folks still not very happy-go-lucky, so to speak, in terms of their household finances in this current economic environment, right?
Yeah, so I'll tell you narrowly what we see in the MDM, and then I'll trigger a little broader for our listeners here. We ask every month, we've done this since February of 2020 when we launched the project, a real simple question. Are your current household finances better, the same, or worse than they were a year ago? So everybody tells me one of those three. And in September, 20% told us their household finances had improved compared to September of 23, which is great for that group. Of course, we'd love for that to be more than 20%. For context, it's been near 20% for a few months now, which is a little bit above how we started the year. What we highlight in the September report is if you tell me your finances have improved, and again, that's 20% of the public here in September, you also tell me you're much more likely to have had beef, pork, or chicken. It applies to all three in a meal yesterday. So I know what people had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and whether or not I had those proteins and even cut level insights and so forth. So there's a financial sentiment direct connection to meat consumption point. That's what we'd expect, right? When you're comfortable with your finances, you're more likely to open your wallet up for meat proteins is the punchline there. That's not new, but that's, you know, reinforced again in September. But for the broader point, the reason you probably bring it up here, Jesse, is I actually think there's some small incremental gains in the real financial situation for quote unquote the median, whoever's in the middle of our country when it comes to financial realities, because inflation rates are coming down. They're not zero, but they are lower. And median real wages are going up, albeit slowly, but they are going up. But I think people's sentiment and kind of their comfort with what's going on hasn't caught up to that. So in other words, if you pull up your checking account and think through what's coming in versus what's going out, there's some caution on that, but I think that's gotten better in the last 6 months. But it hasn't spilled over into this sentiment question I'm asking people. Are your finances better? Because I think people are still a little uncomfortable with the broader macro situation.
We're talking with Dr. Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University, looking at the latest meat demand monitor for the month of September, funded in part by the beef checkoff, the pork checkoff. And you can find the MDM and past MDMs at agmanager.info. Glenn, I want to talk about a special report as well that you guys have out, looking at the pork side of the ledger here. Set this up for us and talk about this report a little bit.
Yeah. So as you noted, this broad project, it's beef and pork checkoff funded. So we do these periodic deep dives. Usually you and I just break down these 3 or 4 page standard reports. And I hope that kind of wets the whistle of the trends. But we got a geeks like me do deeper dives periodically. And one of those fellow geeks is Justin Bina, who's a former student here. He's now a faculty member at Arizona State. So he led this most recent special report. It got posted earlier in October. And we're taking that prior day composition of your meal. So what did you have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And doing a deep dive focused on pork. And just for quick context, we're using only the third quarter of 2024 data. So we're trying to keep this current. Even with that, we have over 8,000 U.S. residents. So it's a deep data set. On average, pork is included in half a meal yesterday. So again, you could have it in 3 meals. So on average, it's 0.5 meals. That's quite a bit higher if you're male, fair amount lower if you're female. And it tends to be a little bit higher if you're younger. So younger males tend to consume pork more frequently than older females, is the way you think about that. We break down income patterns. We break down package sizes. What I really want to impress on you, because I know we're a little tight on time, is average consumption is very misleading. We have a massive country in all ways you can think about it. And pork consumption tends to be more concentrated. It's not uniform across all 300 million people. And understanding where it's concentrated and kind of they're the core drivers of demand is real important.
Looking through some of these numbers too, and we got a couple minutes here before we close out, you mentioned, but interesting to just see some of these different breakdowns, whether it be by income or age. You mentioned I guess from my perspective, it's fascinating to see all of this laid out in terms of, you know, where pork fits into like a half a meal a day, as you mentioned, Glenn.
Yeah. And in the context, the half a meal a day would be, you know, if I grab two people off the street, one of them might have not had pork at all, and one of them had pork in one meal yesterday. So the net of that is half a meal on average across them, just for context for our listeners. But what I'm really trying to impress on people is if you're higher income, if you're male, and if you're younger, you're more likely to have been that person that told me you had pork yesterday. And then we go further, and you know, for the, again, those that want to go further, not all pork's even equal. We look at this separately for sausage versus bacon versus chops. And the income effect is very different across those three. So as your income is going up, so households that make over $100,000 per year report a lower sausage consumption frequency than those that are lower income. So one of the things we see is as your income goes up, you're less likely to consume sausage. You're more likely to consume something else. And that could be some shifts within pork, or it could be shifts just totally out of the pork complex. So it's not just this gender and income. There's even a cut level distinction to this.
Very interesting stuff. I know that this deep dive report, and as I mentioned earlier, the full MDM for September and past months, again, all of that's easily available online. Where could folks get more information, Glenn?
They can find it on agmanager.info. That's our website here at K-State. It is covered in lots of purple, which since I'm at K-State, I'll tell everybody that's listening, purple's good for your soul. Please go look at that MDM resource and make use of it.
And real quick, just to kind of sum all this up, any other key points you would want to mention or reiterate to folks here in the last 30 seconds, Glenn?
Yeah, maybe the distinction between, you know, kind of an accounting perspective on real wages versus sentiment. I tried to break that down earlier. You know, I think we're all aware of emotions are pretty high with the election cycle and all things that come with that. This distinction between kind of comfort with the financial situation versus what your bank account and or your credit card might look like, I think is going to continue to be an important one. I hope we see improvement on both. But at the moment, there's some ongoing frustration that's a little bit at odds with some marginal improvement in the bank account.
AgManager.info for more details and to take a look at the reports. With that, Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Glenn, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. We will catch up with you next month. Appreciate it.
Sounds great, Jesse.
And today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. Power through the season. Cenex is what you need for premium lubricants and greases. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Up next, we'll close out the show. We'll talk with Dr. Steve Lerner from Novo Nesis on the way right after this.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay and Associates.
Means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Sedex Premium Lubricants and Premium Diesel. Trust your local experts at your nearest Sedex location, or go to Sedex.com for more and find the products that they have that will help you protect your equipment and your operation. Well, right now on the program, let's talk about modern diets and the gut microbiome. Joining us for this conversation, always good to talk with Dr. Steve Lerter from Novonesis. And Steve, how are you, sir? Welcome back to the program.
I'm so fine, Jesse, and always happy to be here.
I know a lot of times you and I talk and it focuses on animal health specifically and thinking about cattle and more, but I really was, my interest was piqued when we looked at this topic and kind of talking human health. And it's something that we should do a little bit more here on the show as we think about just rural issues and human issues and more. So give us some background on how modern diets are starving the gut microbiome. Can you set this up for us, Steve?
Certainly. So we carry on and in us about 40 trillion microorganisms. Many of those are bacterial species. Collectively, they're referred to as the microbiota, or the microbiome is the common parlance. And we can think that we carry them around in and on us, but in truth, they simply find us to be an excellent transport system. And everything we consume, we actually feed those 40 trillion organisms, and we benefit from the digestion that they engage in and the materials they make available to us to absorb in our intestinal tracts. And just for background, bacteria have been here for 3.2 billion years, and all higher life forms, including us, our families, and all of our friends, and the animals in our care, have evolved in the presence of these organisms. So it is only reasonable to believe that we work in synergy together. So when you talk about modern diets, we know our ancient ancestors, hunter-gatherers, consumed something on the order of 150 grams of fiber a day. For us, that'd be equivalent to eating 34 apples. Not likely going to happen. And it is very interesting to know that in our colons, the last portion of our intestinal tract, those organisms that are there are able to take relatively complex, undigestible fibers that typically make it through us to that point, and they digest them into a class of chemicals called short chain fatty acids. These are just 2 to 6 carbon strings with some hydrogen and oxygen, and chemically they are fatty acids. And because they're short, you know, very clever naming convention, short chain fatty acids. And when those materials are absorbed in the colon, they serve as the energy source for the cells that line our intestine. So these things are essential for us to maintain, you know, our lives.
So thinking about fiber, let's talk about how important that is to maintaining a healthy, balanced diet. And honestly, I think this could apply, you know, both for humans and for livestock too, if we really wanted to talk about it that way. But I guess just frame this up and tell us more about why fiber is so important.
So if you think about a production animal, a cattle in specifically, they're eating forage. They have a rumen to digest that material. Monogastric animals, humans, our swine brethren, our pets are typically monogastric. And we do not digest plant fibers very well. So you look for readily digestible fibers. It starts with neonates. If you look at mother's milk, there are human milk oligosaccharides. These are available sugars. There are fibers and other materials in milk that we can readily digest. But in our typical diet, they will say to maintain good health, good gastrointestinal motility, you need to have a good fiber source. But now we're learning not only can it impact our transition of materials through our gut and our regularity, so to speak, but it can also impact our general health. These short-chain fatty acids, when they're received by the cells of our colon, can send signals directly to our brain via the vagus nerve. They can get into our bloodstream. They can affect the metabolism in our liver. They can affect the pancreatic function, insulin secretion, for example. They can also cross the blood-brain barrier and can affect our mental well-being, our chance of getting a neuropathy or a problem in our brain, a chance of having neural inflammation. So having fibers available for those organisms that can utilize them is essential to our health. So having fibers in our diet is clearly a good thing, not only for our gut, but for our general well-being.
Talking with Dr. Steve Lerter from Novonesis. Steve, let's rope this in here as well. I know another topic that you and I love to talk about is the use of an effective probiotic. How does that play into the modern diet and starving the gut microbiome, Steve?
When you provide an effective probiotic, there are direct benefits of those organisms, but one of those would be the indirect action to alter, to improve, to complement, to support, whatever action you want to couch that under, the composition of a robust, stable microbiome. What you want to have in your system naturally is, if you're stressed, heat stress, cold stress, environmental stress, the stressors that all people experience at one time or another, and you want to maintain your health, then a good way of supporting that concept is to have a robust microbiome that can withstand those stressors and still function normally. When you supplement your diet with an effective probiotic, your chance of having a robust microbiome that can withstand those stressors goes up. That is true for us, our loved ones, and all the animals in our care.
Steve, if folks want to learn more, I know you guys have a lot of great work you do at Novonesis, great research, not only human health, but our animal friends as well. Where can folks get more information, Steve?
Certainly. They can reach out and find us at novonesis.com. They're great sources of information and provides our contact if you want additional details.
Dr. Steve Lerter with Novonesis, thanks so much for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from, and how are...
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, Then Great News. Good news.